Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Put on the spot by the Pharisees, Jesus displays wisdom by summarizing the law of God in just two commandments and by demonstrating that the Messiah must be more than the son of David. Our gospel today from the 22nd chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 34th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under my feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any questions. This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. So the question that I've got for you is, looking at this picture that is up on the screen, is this just a tangled mess? Or is it strings that are so intricately woven together that you can't tell where one begins and the other ends? I put that picture up because it seems to me today that that's the question in the midst of the gospel. So it begins with Jesus once again being tested. We are in a part of Matthew that has happened. The triumphal entry has happened into Jerusalem. We are just days before Jesus will be arrested, tried, and will be killed. Okay, so we're in the midst of what we in the church today call Holy Week. And the religious leaders of the day have been coming after Jesus with questions. We heard it last week as Pastor Martha read the gospel and then took us into conversation about it. And it continues today with the Pharisees. They want to wrap a web of a tangled mess around Jesus to trip him up. But Jesus is smarter than that. And as a matter of fact, as we get to the end of the gospel in that conversation about King David, it's really a head scratcher, but it seems to me he's the one that tangled them up because no religious leaders would come and ask him any questions anymore. Their hope was to set him aside so that people would fall away and not follow him anymore. But it didn't work. As Jesus is confronted with the question, which is the greatest of the commandments, it seems to me he took this string and wove it into something that is inseparable. Because he says that loving God and loving neighbor are the two most important commandments. And the more that I think about it, I think that those two things, loving God and loving neighbor, are inextricably woven together. I don't believe that you can love God if you don't love your neighbor. And I think that if you are into loving your neighbor, you will eventually come to a place of understanding that that neighbor is a good creation of God's own hand. I don't think that you can do one without the other. Loving God and loving neighbor. Today, at the second service, we are going to have the affirmation of baptism service. And in the midst of that service, There'll be 15 young people who will be coming forward for that. There are a number of promises which are made. These are the exact same promises that were made in baptism. So if you went to the baptismal liturgy, these things are asked of the parents and the sponsors. And here's how it reads in the hymnal. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue to live in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? To live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ Jesus through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all of the earth. Now, if you think about those five affirmations that happen first at a baptismal font, and then when a young person affirms their faith, they really break down into two different groupings. The first two are about worshiping in a faith community. They are connected to loving God. Right? The call to live among God's faithful people is a call to continue to worship. The call to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper is all about worship. Now, let me be really clear. I believe that people of faith can and should spend time alone in prayer, should spend time alone in meditation or reading devotionals, should spend time alone in reading Scripture. That's how we deepen our faith. But I believe that it is essential that we continue to worship together as well. Because if we don't, I think that we in our human minds can begin to build a perverted view of God. And that perverted view often looks just exactly like ourselves. We make God into our own image. And being in community, I think, helps push against that. It's also a place where we find support and love and grace and mercy. Those second three promises that happen at the baptismal font and then as these young people affirm their faith are about living faith and serving our neighbor. To proclaim the good news of God in Christ Jesus through word and deed. In other words, through word and deed, to live our faith and to speak it. To serve all people following the example of Jesus. To strive for justice and peace in all of the earth. That is all about loving our neighbor. Loving God and loving neighbor, it is all tied up in baptismal promises and in the affirmation of baptism service. A couple of quick stories to think about how serving the neighbor lands in our midst. So Pastor Martha last week talked about us being away at the Lutheran Youth Organization gathering in Mandan. For the high school kids, all of them got sent out as a group to different places around Bismarck and Mandan to do service projects. Our young people and Pastor Martha and Gracia went to Closet 701 to do some cleaning on the outside of the building and to help prepare the new building that they're going to be moving into soon. The person that was leading them said that as you leave, take a look at the building over there and down the alley, and you will see a bus that's parked right next to the building. Look down between the building and the bus. See what you notice. Keep your eyes open. As people walked by, what they noticed is that others had set up camp there. It was their home. I got to tell you that before I came to Trinity, I did not notice the number of neighbors that we have. And what I mean by that, people that might not have a home. The kind of people that just stop in here for a while on a Monday or a Tuesday, a Wednesday, Thursday or Friday to warm up for a bit, to use a restroom, to get a drink of water. I loved what the leader from Closet 701 invited us to do, to notice. Loving our neighbor takes eyes that notice what is going on around us. The opportunities are there if we're bold enough to step into trying to figure out how it is we're called to serve. This Wednesday, Pastor Martha and I stopped by Ministry on the Margins. They had an open house to celebrate 10 years of ministry. Phenomenal event, great opportunity. If you remember, Wednesday was gray and overcast. It was misting and spitting throughout the day. The news was all a Twitter about the fact that snow was coming. We were going to get hit. We talked for just a brief moment with Sister Kathleen because she was really busy talking with lots of people. And I said, "How are things?" And she talked about her anxiety. And I said, "Well, what's up?" She said, "Well, with this weather coming, I'm just really anxious. Do we open up longer hours? How do we serve those in need?" Then she began to talk a little bit about the anxiety of the people they serve, wondering if they were going to be dry, wondering if they were going to be warm, wondering. Once again, I hadn't noticed. Hadn't even thought about it. I'd wondered if we had enough milk in the fridge to get it through a few days if the storm got really, really bad. Did we have the bread that we need? I didn't even notice to think about people that would actually be wondering if they would be dry in the midst of freezing rain. We, brothers and sisters in Christ, are called to notice that we might love our neighbors. I would guess that each and every one of you here, at some point in time, has gone through an affirmation of baptism service. When I was much, much younger and went through it, we called it confirmation. I like using the formal title of affirmation of baptism because what the young people are doing is they are saying what mom and dad did when they brought me to the baptismal font was the right thing to do. This is now my faith and I'm going to live into it. But here's the other deal that we don't often realize. The affirmation of baptism service is a service that you can do again and again and again and again. And this morning, I am going to invite you into that service. Would you grab the hymnal in front of you, because we're not going to put this up on the screen. Would you grab the hymnal in front of you and turn with me to page 235. 235 at the front of the hymnal. Page 235 at the front of the hymnal. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, to reject sin and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? I invite you to rise as you are able. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life after. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. And I ask God to help and guide me. People of God, do you promise together to support these sisters and brothers and pray for them in their life? We do, and we ask God to help and guide us. We pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. And now feel God's hands upon your head in this moment as this prayer is spoken over you. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in each and every person here this morning the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm their faith, guide their life, empower their serving, give them patience in suffering, and bring them to eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So I got to tell you, the opening picture that I showed you, this one that I wondered, is it just a tangled mess to trip us up, or is it just interwoven strings like God's incredible love for us? Part of what I really like about this picture are the two little tags that are there, begin and end. And it reminds me that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that all of our life is wrapped up in this interwoven, deeply connected gift that God provides for us. Brothers and sisters, you are God's beloved, called to love God and love your neighbor. Thanks be to God. Amen.